Our text for today is the gospel lesson. Out of reverence for the gospel, then, please stand. We read from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. And let us pray. Let's use the prayer that's on the back of our worship folder, the prayer that is at the beginning of this book, joining Jesus on his mission, that summarizes the message of the book and the message of our sermon series. Please join with me in prayer. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this bridge is the Choluteca Bridge in Honduras. In 1998, Hurricane Mitch slammed into Honduras and dumped up to 6 feet of water in various areas. And with all that water, the river moved. And so there's this beautiful bridge that's lost its purpose. It's not uncommon when you go to pastors' conferences to see a picture of this bridge. Because the river of culture has shifted. And in many ways, we have to recognize that the beautiful bridge that we built of God's church is not quite where it needs to be. You see, in generations past, for most of the last century, people recognized that the church was the bridge to the eternal. We lived in a church society, not necessarily that everybody went to church, but the idea that the church was the place to find eternal truths was generally accepted. People had this idea that you should go to church even if maybe you didn't. But over the last generation, there has been an incredible downpour of societal changes that has shifted our culture. So that rather than the church being seen as the bridge to the eternal, the church in many people's eyes is seen as the problem. That there's only one true unforgivable sin, intolerance, and the church and Christianity just summarizes and equals intolerance. In many people's minds, the church has lost its purpose as the river of culture has changed. Now, it's not that our message changes, but to recognize that even as we carry out our ministry here on campus, we can't just assume, as in generations past, that people would have this idea that they should come to find healing and help here. As the society has shifted, we have to recognize that we need to build some new bridges. That we are missionaries into an increasingly non-Christian, post-Christian, and some would say even now we should say pre-Christian, because many people, especially of younger generations, have no knowledge of Bible history. In a sense, they are pre-Christian. We have to share with them just the basic knowledge. So how do we bridge that gap? That's what this message series is about. And today, we're going to focus on the idea that we need a mindset shift, that we need to recognize that the culture has changed, and that for people to come and hear the good news that we have to share, more than ever, we have the call to build another link to this bridge, to cross over into the culture. As we take a look at our gospel lesson for today, there's 3 points. The first is the idea of moving towards the darkness. That's what Jesus did in his ministry. We're told when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he's talking about John the Baptist, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and preached in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. When you see Galilee, it does not look like a land of the shadow of death. Galilee is just a beautiful area. In fact, as I visited Galilee, it's kind of reminded me of Wisconsin. It's beautiful. So why would it be called a land in the shadow of death? Well, for centuries, Galilee, in the north part of the Promised Land, was on the invasion route for enemies from the north. And so they suffered first and suffered most. In fact, by this time at Jesus' ministry, Galilee was in many areas predominantly non-Jewish. And so there's this spiritual darkness. Jesus could have started his ministry in Jerusalem. That's where the church center was, but instead he steps out into this dark place of Galilee. It was a despised place. Remember when Nathanael was spoken to by his friend Philip? Philip said, you know, we've found the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Or when Nicodemus, the man that came to Jesus at night early on in John's gospel, about halfway through John's gospel, Nicodemus is trying to defend Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And his compatriots respond, look into it and see for yourself, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Galilee was a place of darkness. But that's where Jesus carried out his ministry. He moved into that place of darkness. And certainly, that's a call for us too. As we see the society around us, more and more we see a place of darkness. The ignorance of who Jesus is and what he's done. How what is proclaimed as sin in our in the Bible is accepted in our society. And there's a part of us that certainly wants to just stay in the comfort of where we are. To stay within the circle of Christian friends. But Jesus moved into the darkness to carry out his ministry. And that's our call too. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we do all kinds of things differently. It's really about a mindset change. A mindset change that the Apostle Paul describes well in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. To recognize that just as we send missionaries out to the world, increasingly we live in a mission field. And so as we interact with people, that we have this mindset shift, that we see no one from a worldly point of view, that we don't have this interaction just because we need to buy something from somebody or somebody is a part of our family, or we work with somebody, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Last week, we were reminded that Jesus came for the lost causes that we interact with. He came for the people of the whole world. And so every person that we interact with is ultimately part of Jesus' mission field. And rather than separating ourselves from the world to step into that darkness and say, how can I get to know the people around me and interact with them so that I can be a part of Jesus' mission? That's what Jesus called his apostles to do. Our text tells us, as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I wonder if the apostles really understood what Jesus was calling them to do. Come, follow me. Perhaps that day it seemed relatively easy to do. They probably didn't understand that Jesus was calling them to travel the world, to suffer, and to die for him. The Apostle Peter traveled to Rome. Andrew traveled to the north, to what is Ukraine and southern Russia today, according to church history. John, in Revelation, we're told he traveled to Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, and then ended up in exile on the island of Patmos. And James, he was the first apostle to suffer a martyr's death. It's recorded in the book of Acts. In fact, three out of the four apostles that are called in our text for today suffered a martyr's death. Come, follow me. It's a miracle that Jesus had these disciples follow him. Not everybody did. A little bit later on in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus invites somebody, come, follow me. And the man says, you know, I'd love to, but first I've got more important priorities. First, let me go bury my father, then I'll come follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Come follow me. The disciples responded, others didn't. But there's no excuse. He said, now, follow me. And remember who these people were. The book of Acts tells us that they were unschooled, ordinary men. And the reason why I mention this is there are all kinds of reasons why I personally just want to stall. Jesus, this is just too hard. Now, we are not likely to face the same kind of persecution that the apostles faced. Perhaps we will someday. But if we step out into that darkness, if we try to carry out a Christian ministry to the people who don't know Christ, I guarantee you, you'll be criticized, questioned, called a hypocrite because they see that you're still a sinner just like them. I just want to curl up sometimes and just go, let somebody else do the work. Or, I'm not up to it. I can't do this anymore. I'm too tired. I don't have the skills. I feel that way. I'm guessing that many of you do from time to time as well. But Jesus doesn't accept excuses. He didn't in Matthew chapter 8. He just says, I've got work for you to do. I want you to come. Follow me. I want you to be a fisher, to go out and to reach people that only you can reach. I'll be honest. Up to this point, I really don't like this text because it does leave me kind of beaten and bruised. I think of the people that I haven't interacted with, that maybe I should have. The times that I've failed to give a Christian witness in the way I've acted or the way I've spoken. The times that I've just said, Lord, send somebody else, not me. It is just too hard. And that's why I so much appreciate how Jesus brought healing in his ministry. The last paragraph of the text says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. It says that he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That's why we're here, aren't we? We need to hear the good news of the kingdom. We need to hear the King tell us through word and through sacrament, I know how you've stalled. I know the doubts and questions you have in your mind. I know the times that you're kicking yourself because you didn't say or do the right thing. I know how many times you've just said, you know, I'm tired of it. And I've still come for you. and I still want you as part of my kingdom. See, that's what the sacrament is really all about. Why is it that if we're able to, we kneel here? Why are churches built so that we can kneel? Because we come beaten and bruised with all kinds of spiritual sickness and pain. And the King welcomes us and gives us his body and blood so that we can be sure, in spite of everything, he claims us as part of his kingdom. He comes and proclaims the good news of the kingdom, that the King promises that he is working in us and through us. The King comes with the good news of the kingdom, that we will be victorious because he is victorious. That right now we may not see it, but someday we will see that we live and rule with him forever. You see, Jesus comes to us here with the good news of the kingdom, and he gives healing to our hearts and souls, and he enables us to bring healing to others as well. Now, I'm not saying that we can miraculously heal like Jesus did. But to recognize that for a variety of reasons we feel beaten and bruised, and the Savior's word gives us healing, the people out there that we interact with, they have the same feelings that we do. We don't know their pain unless we listen. But we can bring healing. We can be that bridge if we take the time to listen to people, to hear and understand their pain. We can be a source of healing just spending time with people. By that time, showing that they are of great worth to us. We can bring healing to people by reminding them that there is somebody who can give them healing. You see, it's here, through word and sacrament, that the Savior has brought healing to us. How are we going to bridge that gap? It's by showing the same kind of unconditional love to the people who are in the darkness as we've received from the Savior. And when they ask us for the reason for the hope that we have, we can share with them that we know the King. When Jesus did miracles, people noticed. People came from all over. That's how God's church continued to flourish across the centuries. Not the miraculous like Jesus did and the apostles did, but the miraculous that Jesus worked in his disciples. That when people were sick and diseased, that the church was there to love and care for them. And people noticed. Right now, it seems like we are this bridge to nowhere. The church is, by many people in our society, just marginalized. But you and I have the ability to cross that bridge. You and I have the ability to bridge that river of culture by going to those places where there's pain. As a police chaplain, very often the police officers mention to me, you know, I don't know how you do it, you know, and I don't know how they do their job. But to go to somebody who's just lost a loved one and bring comfort there. It's an uncomfortable situation. Many people would rather run away. And that's true in our everyday interactions, that there is pain in the people around us, and there's a temptation just to stay away because we don't have the answer, it would seem. But could it be that those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, as Jesus reached out to them, that was the bridge that God used to draw those people to the Savior? Could it be that the people who are in pain around us are experiencing that so that we can show love towards them, so that in that love we bridge the gap and they can find healing through the King like you and I have? Amen.